U-Brake Wheel Fix is a wheel repair and remanufacturing company with over 20 years of experience. They specialize in complete wheel repair, repairing wheels from curb rash, bends, and cracks. They also specialize in refinishing from polishing, machining, and custom colors that will suit your car's needs. Lastly, U-Brake Wheel Fix offers a full array of factory and custom wheel and tire applications. Contact them at 305-748-0112. That's 305-748-0112 or at U-Brake Wheel Fix on all social platforms. This show is brought to you by Lewis Peters State Farm, agency representing the number one auto and home insurer in the United States for more than 60 years combined experience in the insurance industry. Local agents that understand South Florida's unique market, you have access to them 24/7, walk-in, call-in, click-in through lewispeters.com. You can find them online on social media at SF Agent Peters, or you can call at 305-275-5585. Remember, lewispeters.com. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Chris Kaufman is here. Sam Clancy is not here because he's on, not vacation, he's on assignment. Like, they still do those things in media, Chris. Surprised or not?
It sounds very much like you're calling him a secret agent.
Yeah, kind of, right? But no, he is working on a documentary. When it'll be out, I'm pretty sure he will promote it. We'll promote it on his show.
He's 00 Simon.
Yeah. Although we had some interesting conversations on OnlyFans, which you can only get if you go, you know, shameless plug, go to Patreon/OnlyFins, and that's Fins, F-I-N-S. So it's O-N-L-Y-F-I-N-S, $3 a month, okay?
$3 a month, and if you sign up, you know, now, then you're going to get, like, then you'll get a steady stream of thirsty pics of me, like, just like throwing those out there just for a laugh or to make everybody vomit.
Yeah, you're going to get everything that you get from us, but I would say maybe more often, better. We also do giveaways every month, and there's also a chat that you can actually talk, and you can get away from, you know, what Twitter is like most of the time, and we will talk about Twitter later on in this show, but you can chat with like-minded Dolphin fans and actually get into it. The other day, I was explaining the intricacies of the 3-3-5 defense.
And, well, you know what? What's great about that chat is that, like, this is like, so there's almost 300 people now in it, and so it's a good amount of people. So it's always lively, but Because of the, you know, selfishly, we're like, oh, give us the $3 a month. But because of that hurdle, like, you know, it's people that are fairly serious about it.
Yes.
Right. And mm-hmm. So, like, these are people that like to, I mean, if they're willing to, you know, throw down some money and they like our show and stuff like that, then it's not just a bunch of casual fans. So they're actually, like, tend to be pretty interesting to talk to. I mean, I hang out in there. I go talk in there. It's pretty nice. And it's a little bit, I mean, it really is sort of like a, you know, like a premium level of, like, a fan site or something like that. It's really interesting.
Yeah. And we learned this week that you had never heard the terminology or the name for the strong safety, CAT, K-A-T.
No. I've heard cat, like, as in cat blitz, uh-huh. Like from the slot, like, but that can be a corner blitz. Cat blitz can be a corner blitz, right?
Yes. Yes.
Not necessarily cat, K-A-T, the position. I've never seen that before in my life. Like I've seen every, you know, I've seen a lot, you know, Mac and Buck, you know, I've seen those for linebacker positions, but,
and the star, you know, position, which is
star money, star nickel. Money, you know, all that stuff. You know, we've seen that. Cat, that's a new one. I thought we were talking about Carl Anthony Towns, like, and we put him on the field. Like, what could you imagine Carl Anthony Towns in the secondary? Like, just going out there.
If he could run a little bit, right? Like,
I think he can run a little bit, can't he? Like, he's a great athlete, right? I mean, he's not locked in, but he's like, you know, pretty good athlete.
Yeah, but like I said on our OnlyFans chat, it's important for coaches to come up with all these weird names for things, so it makes it sound like we're doing that something that's more interesting than it really is, you know? When all you're really doing when you're coaching is you're telling a guy to do something when the other guy does something, and then do the opposite when he does the opposite. So, you know, but you got to make up names like that, you know, like Viper and Monster and... You know,
I've heard Monster. You know, I've heard Nano, you know, obviously Jack position and Jack linebacker and
the field corner and the boundary corner. Now
but it comes into play in college, right? Because of the wider hashes.
It does.
It's a really important thing, and because of those wider hashes, I don't think it's really important at all in NFL because the hashes are only what, like 18 feet 9 inches apart or something like that. It's like not a thing anymore. But
no, it's just left cornerback and right cornerback.
They're 40 feet apart. They're 40 feet apart in college. Like that's a lot. That's a big difference.
It used to be actually that your left cornerback was your best tackler in the secondary, and now that doesn't exist anymore. Like that's not important.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, but before we go on with the show, we have two new sponsors to the show, and we'd like to welcome them to the show. And that's Lewis Peters, State Farm Insurance Agent. You heard his ad at the top of the show. You can reach him at 305-275-5585. And of course, You Break Wheel Fix returns to the show. You can look them up on all the social media platforms at You Break Wheel Fix.
And shout out to Lewis, because Lewis is he's a longtime fan of the absolutely. Show, and he's on OnlyFans. He was subjected to this morning's unfortunate shenanigans.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, last time we left you, Xavier Howard didn't have a contract, but I showed up on Sunday, on a sleepy Sunday morning. I show up at Dolphins camp, and Dolphins camp was a buzz with, hey, guess what? They restructured his deal, and Xavier Howard's happy. First of all, your thoughts on it. First of all, it played out exactly how we said it would for months, but your thoughts on what they did and what does it mean going forward?
I think probably the most significant thing is that they gave him like sort of the handshake. Hey, we'll renegotiate this according to market in next off season. And market as well as like, you know, how he played and how he how healthy he stays this year. That's probably the most significant thing. It's sort of a kick the can down the road, but it's also, you know, a promise is a promise. I expect them to make good on it. But like you said, this is exactly what we kept saying will happen eventually. You know, I think that Xavier probably got in his feelings a little bit more than maybe some would have hoped or some would have expected because he released that statement. But, you know, I just think overall, I never sensed that there anybody's heart was in this fight. Like, no, you know, even Xavier's, because I've heard the man interviewed, you know, and not Dolphin stuff, but interviewed elsewhere. And it didn't really seem like he had a legit, you know, gripe, and he obviously wanted this contract addressed. But he didn't seem like his heart was in it. You know, he wasn't really bad mouthing anybody. And the Dolphins, every time Brian Flores, I mean, if he's any indication and not just paying lip service to the media, anytime he talked about it, he always he was always very, you know, positive about Xavier Howard, and he was also like really acknowledged consistently that there's a real issue here. Like this is a unique situation, and we understand, you know, where he's coming from and stuff like that. And, you know, listen, if you're Jerry Jones, like you get out in front of the media and you're like, we don't negotiate with terrorists. I mean, I think that some teams would be inclined to react that way, and you can kind of feel that energy coming off them, but that was never the Dolphins here. And so I thought that this would play out very much like, you know, like a scripted or something, you know, almost like, you know, this has to happen, then this happens, then this happens, then this happens, you know, and that's what it did. It, you know, it just played out, but it didn't really have a lot of feeling. And it just worked out exactly as we said. The Dolphins threw him a bone. Wasn't even that significant of a bone. And he got back in town.
Yeah, and I made a big deal about it on Twitter because I think it was a worthwhile event that they handled it this way. They didn't do, like I said, you know, the dipshit move of selling him for 60 cents on the dollar, you know, and helping the Chiefs win or the Saints win or the Cowboys win. No, you're going to help the Dolphins win. You play for us. You're part of our defense. We kind of like having two really good corners. You're an important part of what we do. You're going to stay right where you are, and we're going to make it, you know, we're going to help you save face and in the process, keep you around, hopefully happy and playing well. And actually, I kind of like the deal. If you look at the deal, he has to play to earn that money, and he has to play well.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's got incentives. I mean, the incentives that they stuck in there, it's like, you know, he's got to, I think he always had to though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said this before on one of the other shows, like, I mean, listen, he's at an age where he can't just like give up a year, right? Like he can't give up a year because then he's 1 year older on the market and it's been 2 years since anybody's seen him play really well. And, you know, oh, what's his injury situation? You know, there are lots of excuses come up to not pay him. And so he has to keep, I mean, that's the unfortunate position that you're in the NFL. You have to keep reminding everybody that you're awesome. And that's, so he wasn't really in position to half-ass the year in any way. And I think that, you know, this reflects that he's going to go out there. He's going to play the best damn football he can. And the Dolphins are going to enjoy that. But then they're also saying, you know, hey, next offseason, we are going to renegotiate according to market, you know, as well as what his injury and his play is like. So,
yeah. And today in the joint practices, he actually had an interception that was called back because Emmanuel Ogba was offsides. He intercepted Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton threw three interceptions. Justin Fields threw two today. So that's two through none. All right. So, you know,
and said he was just evidently he was just sacked like a billion times. Yes. because the offensive line really struggled against,
and we will get to the Chicago Bears Saturday's game. Of
I love
course.
The way you say that, the Chicago Bears, the chicken.
Yeah, I don't know,
like,
I can't change it. Chicago is the way I'm supposed
to say
it.
You can't change it. Like, you could, I wouldn't want you to even try at this point. Just like I wouldn't want you to try and change how you say Baltimore. That's it.
Well, they play the Bears on Saturday. We will preview that, of course, and we will talk about the joint practices, which depends on who you listen to. It either went splendidly or our offensive line is an unmitigated disaster. We'll figure all of that out.
Well, probably both.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? We'll get to start seeing it on Saturday, because guess what? Tua Tagovailoa is starting that game along with his offensive line. And supposedly Khalil Mack will too. So we get to see it live, right? Which is all kinds of interesting.
Do you think that Khalil Mack gets a sack before he goes out?
Well,
like, what's our bet?
Davis,
what's our
right?
bet here? Yeah.
Well, what's our bet here? I would hope that they just hold him, right? And they're not going to let him get
just
a free
hold
run.
Him?
Yeah, just like, hold him. Like,
just
like
take
okay,
a few
fine.
Holding penalties.
Yeah, if they give you a couple of holding penalties, like, really, you're going to call six holding penalties in a row on us? You know what I mean? Well, you call one, you know, you hold them again, and that's it. Try to block them, of course.
But like, if, By the way, we faced him, or we faced Khalil Mack with Adam Gase, right? Yes. This was a game that I sort of remember. Was Brock Osweiler starting that game? I forget.
Yes, he was. And Jawan James wiped the floor with Khalil Mack.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, somebody in that game shut down Khalil Mack, like, really shut him down. And
Jawan James, to the point where they flip-flopped him in the second half to Laremy Tunsil, and then Laremy Tunsil said, I got some for you, too. Oh, Khalil Mack was essentially non-existent in that game.
That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember he was essentially non-existent, but I was like, who shut him down? And it was Jawan James, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of shutting people down, the Joy Taylor saga, what did you make of that? Because I thought it's all kinds of interesting that our fan base has finally gotten behind somebody, and boy, are they behind Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa better be good this year.
People got his back. We really backed ourselves into a corner on this one, didn't we?
Yeah, because you know, we're no longer backers of the quarterback drafted number 5 overall. You know, Dolphins Twitter is more like a gang nowadays.
Yeah,
so
kind of is.
You know, Locust. What did you make of that? Because, oh my God, I got in there, and I guess she tried to, because she knows me, and she answered a couple of my tweets. And my response is just, you know, brought all the 3YPC people on there. And now all of a sudden, she had 300 people in her mentions. Now she has 3,000 people in her mentions. So what did you make of that whole saga yesterday? Because she did have a 20-tweet thread to explain herself.
Mm-hmm. What I took from it is that if you finish your tweet splaining thread with a picture of you, like, you know, kind of a semi-ish thirsty picture of yourself in a Tua jersey or a Dolphins jersey, then it's like all is forgiven. Like nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares what you do or what, like, that's why I posted. So I posted that this morning. I was like, okay, is everybody just, am I no longer in jail for, do I get out of jail for any stupid shit that I've said now?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's, I think that it's like you said, they're Dolphins Twitter is getting a little out of hand as far as acting like a gang and, you know, stuff like that. But at the same time, we talked about this on the show. Listen, we're biased. I mean, I'll freely admit, like, on the show, Dolphins Twitter, you know, just everybody, we're biased. We're biased about Tua, and there's no getting around that. But we're biased about Tua, but we're not unreasonable about Tua. In fact, we're biased because we insist on people being reasonable. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're in a sport where nobody is reasonable about, you know, this is a very hot takey, you know, business, the media, the fans, especially, you know, everybody just like throws out their hot and bad takes. And that's just what we do. You know, that's something about the game. It's such a complex game. That's the only way we can understand it, you know? But we all kind of throw out these very quickly formed opinions and stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, biased ones, and we throw them out there just for the hell of it. And what we're saying, what the people that love Tua and that bias for Tua are like, no, we're going to need you to stop that right now. we're going to actually need you to see what you need to see to conclude that and to give it the appropriate amount of time and stuff like that. Like, we don't insist on that with anybody else. We'll go talk shit about everybody. Zach Wilson, like, you know,
Sam Darnold. Zach Wilson's already a bust.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And Joe Burrow is clearly going to have the worst season ever.
Well, his career might be over.
Yeah, his career is over. And, you know, we just throw out all this shit just constantly, and we don't care. Justin Herbert, totally a fluke. He just threw a bunch of interceptions in practice a couple weeks ago. I heard, you know, that, and Like, we throw all this shit out there and we're unapologetic about it. But in the case of Tour, we're like, hold on. Let's be reasonable.
Yes.
You know, and that's what we do. I mean, that's where people get like turned off.
It didn't help Joy that she was on video, and she does TV, okay, on one of the highest rated shows anywhere, on The Herd with Colin Cowherd. And she was on video screaming into a microphone that she doesn't want to hear any more injury excuses about Tua. She was doing that in March, right?
Yep.
And then,
yep,
of course, yesterday she took to the air to say, you know, hold on Joe Burrow. Maybe he needs this year as well to get back from that knee injury. And come on, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it's blatant. It's blatant double standard. I mean, it's not like they didn't have a point.
Yes, of course. And, you know, it doesn't help that, you know, her boss, for lack of a better word, because, you know, I guess, you know, it's his name on the show, right? Is a notorious Tua hater from last year. So, which is odd because he was on in the Tua documentary talking about how Tua was going to transcend the game. But, you know, Joy was also on video on that show saying, you know, that she would have never traded the number 3 pick because she would have used it on Trey Lance to replace Tua. So, you know, we have that as well. So it's just been a constant barrage. And it's also interesting that her brother works for the team now. So you think maybe he placed a call? Like, hey, sis, like, this is not helping me over here all that much that you're on, you know, on that show constantly, right? He had to have placed the call, right?
I don't know. And, you know, that's a tough one. That's a tough one because, you know, knowing Jason Taylor and everything, you know, he's really competitive and, you know, and like these athletes are the ultimate, like, leave each other to do what they need to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, especially when another one gets in like a contract dispute or something like that, like they're totally, you know, tunnel vision and they're like, you know, to each their own, that everybody has to look out for themselves. And so I could totally imagine, like, you know, hey, sis, you do what you do, you know, and that's, and not saying a word, but yeah, I mean, I don't know if this kind of talk actually even phases the Dolphins that much. It certainly doesn't phase anybody on the coaching side. It's hard to say who might be phased on the organizational side. You know, once you start getting into ownership and stuff like that, they might care. But
well, it is interesting that Tua Tagovailoa said, and well, he volunteered that all he has are streaming services on his TV, that he doesn't watch ESPN or Fox Sports, which is a good thing. Okay.
Right. I mean, I have streaming services too, but I also, one of those streaming services is YouTube TV, so I can watch ESPN.
You know, so he's avoiding all of that talk, which is a good thing. All right. So they, you know, we're recording this on a Wednesday. So they have one joint practice under their belt.
Yep.
It was interesting because we were following Travis Wingfield. I was following him, his Twitter account, and then all of a sudden he disappeared, and it was rumored that he was out of practice and then he was back in practice, and it's not clear what happened, but other people have reported what happened in that practice. And depends on who you believe, Tua Tagovailoa was masterful in red zone and in the 6v8. I know they call it 7-on-7, but it's not 7-on-7. It's 6v8. Okay. It's 6-on-8. But one theme seems to be rather consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Liam Eikenberg was either benched or moved to second team late in practice. Jesse Davis remained at right tackle. Solomon Kinley came in at left guard. Is there any room for concern here on what's happening with Liam Eikenberg? Because kind of expected him to be the right tackle. Or do you think that maybe, just maybe, although this is kind of odd, They knew that they were doing this joint practice with Chicago, and they didn't want to throw the rookie out there against Khalil Mack for 20 snaps a game. I mean, or 20 snaps a practice, and then have him on Saturday for like 6 or 7 snaps and maybe hurt his confidence. Do you think that maybe that was playing in their mind, or is there cause for concern already?
I do. I kind of wonder about, like, you know, hey, do we want him going against Khalil Mack all week? But then again, they know, I think they, coming from Notre Dame, those guys are extremely mentally tough. That guy in particular is very mentally tough. I mean, everybody knows about the, you know, the everybody's seen the pictures of him finishing out that game with his eye swollen, so swollen shut essentially. And so maybe they don't care. But I do think that something, and this is going to sound like apologetic for him, I guess. It is, again, biased, but not unreasonable. And that is that that when you move inside from tackle to guard, things do happen a lot more quickly on the inside at guard. I mean, that's you have to get into it. You have to get into everything, into contact and everything a lot more. It's a lot more quick and a lot more powerful. And you know, so these guys that are just that were left tackles for a bunt for a long time, and now they move into left guard. I mean, it may eventually be great. I don't know, but initially, especially the first time you practice against another team that is like, you know, going hard because they want to go after each other. It might not look so hot in that first practice. I'm just saying. I would think that if they want immediate returns on Liam Eichenberg, that they would have played him at right tackle. And that's just the way you would go, because it could be a learning curve at guard on the inside. It's hard to move in there sometimes. So we'll see, but we also kind of we've been through this big mystery with Solomon Kindley, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what did he do? Whose dog did he kill? To get John Wicked like this in practice, you know, with being on the third team. And, you know, I think that now seeing him thrown back in there, they're kind of like, hey, no, this is why we put a giant ass body in there on the inside of the offensive line, on the interior of the offensive line, because we can trust this giant dude, big fat dude, is not going to get pushed around. And so I find that interesting, that basically their resolve on whatever punishment they were meting out to Solomon Kindley, their resolve shattered the first time they faced real bodies on another team. So
very quickly, week one in Foxborough, who's the starting right tackle?
At this rate, oh man, I don't know. At this rate, I do tend to think it's going to be Jesse Davis, just because there's like this love that they have for that guy.
Yeah, right.
They do. I mean, they love him. I mean, they signed him to a long contract. I mean, they love him.
Yeah. Although it would really work out if Liam Eichenberg could take to that right tackle spot, and then Solomon Kindley takes to left guard, and then you actually have real depth. Because since, you know, DJ Fluker is gone, Jesse Davis could play every single position on that offensive line. And then he's your, you know, he can also be your swing tackle. And then you could develop the younger guys that are behind him, the Pankies and the Larnell Colemans, you know, to develop at a slower pace, you know. But as it stands right now, you have no depth at right tackle unless, you know, if something happens, then what? You're going to start shuffling everybody around, all the rookies around once again, maybe even Robert Hunt. So yeah, I'd love to see Liam Eichenberg just take right tackle, you know, and take it soon. Maybe they're working on something. Maybe today Solomon Kindley getting those first team snaps at left guard means something. And maybe that's what they're working toward, you know?
I don't know why cross-train him to begin with, but I think the cross-training has as much to do with this, you know, this love that they have for Jesse Davis as it does whatever was going on with Solomon Kindley. You know, it's unfortunate. I think the cross-training is going to set him back a little bit because I would have loved to see him just go straight up right tackle. This is our dude. But at the same time, he is a rookie. And so maybe they're like, hey, this is to his blind side. Should we really be putting a rookie there? So that's a consideration.
Yeah. Other reports that stood out to me, Robert Hunt having a day again against Akeem Hicks, which is pretty interesting. Anybody you ask, and these are not, you know, media types. These are, you know, football people, especially around the Dolphins. Like, you ask them about Robert Hunt, and the first words that come out of their mouth is, oh, he's going to be a Pro Bowler. He's going to be a really, really good player for a very long time at right guard. And you kind of see it. You kind of see why they would think like that. He's just a great-looking athlete. Big,
I thought he wasn't a bad. I thought he wasn't a bad right tackle either. Honestly,
he had, in my opinion, he had bad moments the last two games of the season.
Yeah, well, everybody did, and I think the team hit a wall.
Yeah, maybe they ran out of gas. You know,
I think they did. I think if you go back and look at it, then there's a lot there to pick out and be like, hey, I think this team kind of ran out of gas.
Not much else to talk about on that offensive line. We'll briefly touch on a few other things, and then we'll get into something else I found pretty interesting with all the reports on this day. The wide receivers, any concern that they're all standing on the sideline again? Albert Wilson, Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, all on the sideline, not participating in this practice. Yeah. Is this a concern, or are they just like, hey, you know, this is not important. We know that they can run out routes, in routes, slants, goes. We don't need them to do it now, so just save them. Or are you kind of concerned, like, you know, it's the walking wounded once again?
As long as they're developing the signaling with Tua, that's the most important thing. I'm not concerned about anything else. Like, these are professionals. I don't give a shit. You know, they're going to be fine that way. As long as, because I think that was an issue last year, Tua being able to signal to his receivers, having his receivers understand what he would be looking for and what he would be signaling. And that's a lot of that's coaching and stuff. Like, they have to install a valid, you know, structure for that to happen and make sure everybody's on the same page and stuff like that. As long as all that's happening, then I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters at all. What I just thought was really interesting is, listen, okay, you had Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, and Albert Wilson, who are, you know, let's count out Albert Wilson in here, because, you know, these probably been the top three receivers in, you know, on the team thus far, because Albert Wilson has been everywhere. I don't know where you personally would put him relative to Jalen Waddle. I know that Jalen Waddle's got tons of potential.
But, Albert Wilson, just not to interrupt you, but Albert Wilson, I would say, has all the big plays. Jalen Waddle's leading the team in receptions and yards, I would say.
Oh, I see. Well, I mean, so you've got like three of the top receivers in the, and the story out of today was not like, Tua was spraying the ball all over the place. It was awful. It was so, no, the story of the day was, wow, you know, Bears were really impressed with Mac Hollins, you know, and Jakeem Grant got behind the defense and you know, like, and all this stuff.
And Jalen Waddle was dominating from the slot.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, so that's the story, you know? and that's such a difference from a year ago. I mean, you had the guys get hurt a year ago, and it was just like, oof, this is rough, you know? Yes. And I think that this time around, something has happened that way. Whether you put your finger on it and say that it's the communication and signaling and the chemistry between Tua and the receivers, or whether you say it's, you know, those receivers having gotten older and better or something, whatever has happened, something has happened with the depth of the wide receiver unit on the Dolphins this year. And I think it's very comforting, because those guys at the top evidently can get injured.
Yeah, and moving off of this, but I will say, you know, I'm not too concerned right now, because I saw Devontae Parker take his red jersey off, and in his first live snap of training camp, Tua hit him on a 25-yard skinny post, right on the money. Parker caught it right in front of Byron Jones. Got up, signaled the first down. He looked great. You know, they're professionals. Like, they'll get their timing together. I am concerned, and I will sound the alarm on this. Will Fuller has done absolutely nothing but ride the bike all camp.
Yeah.
I am concerned. He showed up.
He's going to miss week one anyway.
Well, yeah, yeah, he is gonna. Yeah, but you like to see him get a little timing, right? You like to see Tua throw him the ball for once, yeah, right? Like, has Tua thrown him the football yet?
No. Well, I mean, I think they were doing. They probably were doing like off-season workouts, I'm sure, together.
Possibly. You know, so I am concerned there is still time. They haven't played a preseason game yet. So hopefully Will Fuller gets into uniform soon and gets some timing with Tua Tagovailoa, because you know Will Fuller is kind of an important piece. You know, he makes the team even better than it is already. But Jaylen Waddle, of course, very impressive. And you know, use a draft pick on him in fantasy. You know, if just use a late pick, because the way he's looking now, he is Tua's security blanket. He's playing in the slot, catching a lot of balls. All right, moving on to the.
We're gonna need to see that in action before we start going fantasy on who should be Miami's third receiver.
Well, you use a ninth round pick on him.
But Alf, there's. I mean, we know that Devontae Parker gets his throws, and we know that Will Fuller is going to get his throws, and we know that Mike Gesicki is going to get his throws. And now, you know, Jaylen Waddle is like, I mean, this is one of the reasons we're very bullish on the Dolphins passing game. And we've been that way. And we're saying, stop talking about Tua so much, because the story is here. But still, until you see that Miami can actually, you know, support a really high output fantasy cast, you know, then geez, you know, it's hard to take a chance on any one of the guys, because they all could be taking a lot of balls. I think Gesicki in particular, because of that receiver cast, there's just a way that the defenses used to be able to try and defend Gesicki that they're not going to be able to anymore. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he really is like, as far as production this year, tight end production, like is top of the league. One of the top.
All right. Moving on to the defense. And I am excited about Jaylen Waddle. We'll talk. I can't wait to watch him play on Saturday, but I'm really excited to see what he's going to do. I put out that stat on OnlyFans, and I don't know if people have heard it, because I think I put it on the 3YPC account also. He has 17 touchdowns at Alabama. You know what the average length of those 17 touchdowns were, Chris?
No.
45.7 yards.
Nice.
That's pretty nice, right?
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, huh? Okay.
Purely ridiculous.
If he does that, you know, if he just has like 6 touchdowns of 40 yards or more, he's a huge fantasy hit.
As far as a ninth round pick. That's true. That's fair.
You know, which is essentially doing what kind of Will Fuller did last year, right? All right. Moving on to the defense. Something very interesting happened. We're going to leave the best for last, which is obviously our free safety, Javon Holland, who had 2 interceptions today. 2, not 1, 2. And he got both quarterbacks. He got Andy Dalton and he got Justin Fields. So, wait a minute. That makes 4 interceptions in the last 3 practices, which is pretty good, in 11 versus 11. So we'll leave him for last. But what do you make of Jalen Phillips spending an entire week in shorts? On Sunday, he runs gassers. He hasn't hit anybody in camp. Today, they show up. They put on their pads. They're playing the Bears, and he's the starting buck. He's the starting buck linebacker, and he's rushing off the edge already on first team.
But did he do really well? I mean, I wish I was there, but
nobody's really mentioned anything. But
yeah,
he got the first.
I think right away. I think he's meant for that. I mean, he's so fit. The guys who do well as rookies are the guys that are really physically impressive, right? I mean, that's like a virtually any position to me. You know, everybody is always like, you know, oh, this guy is NFL ready because he's smart or he's technical or something like that. And I always hear that and I'm like, you don't get it. Because the guys who come right into the league and just like take to it and are comfortable are the guys who are so physically impressive that they have weapons at their disposal immediately. And then, you know, the coaches can help them with the rest. But I mean, like, Yeah, I mean, because even the technical guys, the savvy guys, and you know, who are use code words that imply that they're not physically impressive. No matter what, they still have to go in the league, and they got a lot to go as far as technique and knowing what they're doing goes. So Jalen Phillips is exactly the kind of guy that's like, you know, this is a physical get off the bus guy. You know, he's gonna be impressive right away.
Yeah, I'd love to see him on Saturday. He should get a lot of run on Saturday. And the great thing about watching these guys play in this first preseason game is that if Andy Dalton just gets one or two series, you know you're going to get Justin Fields for two quarters maybe, right?
I would take if you have fantasy and preseason or you have bets, like, because Justin Fields is a really good athlete, this has always been a trick of mine. Like, I am one of the few people that will bet on preseason games. and I, you know, I look for, and I'd like to see some confirmation just by looking at the way he plays. And it'd be nice if you were playing a preseason game before he played us. But, you know, knowing what he can do as an athlete, he's going to have a good game, I think. Preseason is just built for that. It's because it's not serious. It's not real season. It's not real game plans. So I, you know, I have to wonder if he's going to destroy us in the game.
That's going to be interesting. All right, before we move on to Javon Holland, very quickly, in my opinion, and maybe I'm wrong, but I've watched all camp, I thought Nick Needham has played pretty well, but Justin Coleman is the starting slot corner.
Yeah, weird,
right? I think they have their finger on the scale there. He hasn't been bad, so I'm not saying that they're playing an inferior player. I'm just saying that Nick Needham has been really, really good this camp. So,
but he's also been on the outside for the most part because he was replacing Xavier Howard.
Yeah, he has been. So I don't know what they're doing there. So
yeah, so it's really weird. So yeah, maybe now that Xavier's back and he's like fully back, you start seeing a little bit more action for Needham on the inside.
All right. And now for the main event, before we talk about the Bears, Javon Holland, how good is this guy going to be? He's making a play a minute in camp, and you could call him a starter. Now he's a starting safety alongside Eric Rowe. So what do you make of the ascension of Javon Holland, Chris?
Well, you know, kudos to them on the draft pick. If it is what it looks like, you know, that's a hell of a score. I wouldn't have thought that he'd take deep center right away in this year, because he hasn't done it since, what was it, 2018, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and if he's just that special, he takes to it after not having played it since 2018. That's pretty awesome. And so we'll see. I mean, he's definitely, sometimes these guys go through spurts of getting interceptions, and it's just, you know, doesn't really mean much, but hopefully it does. I'm optimistic,
you know, and you know, not to, you know, to give him too much credit, but I thought this was a really good play on Sunday. On Sunday, they do their game sim portion, which is they start at their own 25-yard line with a minute 30 left on the clock, and they're down 4 points, or they're down 3 points. So naturally, you want a touchdown to win, or you want a field goal to tie, right? So in that portion of practice, which is usually at the end of practice, Tua Tagovailoa ran two plays, both of them interceptions. Okay, so that's not good.
Great. Right.
So he had two series, and they both ended on the very first play of the series. All right. The first series, Adam Shaheen seemed to go the wrong way on an option route because they were arguing afterwards. And Tua threw it to that spot, and Eric Rowe intercepted it. And which was odd, because I put it as a little pun on my notes and nobody picked it up. Adam Shaheen went left when he was supposed to go right. Get it?
He thought the vaccine was on the right.
Yes. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know who to blame there. They were arguing after the play, you know, who was right, who was wrong. But, okay, you could chalk that one up. But the second series, Tua tried to hold the safety. But Javon Holland, maybe he's been watching him in practice for way too long. And he had Jakeem on a go route to his right. And Tua tried to hold the safety by swinging around like drastic. When he got the snap, he tried to swing around like if he was throwing a short slant, and then he just let it rip. And Javon Holland just came off of his hash immediately. And, of course, he just ran under it like a punt and intercepted it in front of Jakeem Grant on the right side. So either that's great anticipation or he just read him or he's been practicing against him for a month now and he figured that's what Tua was trying to do. But I thought that was extremely impressive by Javon Holland. And you know, I guess we'll get to see him on Saturday against two pretty good quarterbacks, the two best quarterbacks he's faced in a while, right?
Yeah, sure. I got to ask you, though, about, you know, because we got several UCF fans in the audience, I'm sure. What's your opinion? You've seen him in camp. You've seen him a lot. Shaquem Griffin, because evidently he did all right today, too. And I think I will give a proper shout out. Omar Kelly says that, you know, labeled him one of his top performers, but he's not the only one that I've seen talking about how he did today by any means. And so what do you think? Like, what do you, in terms of how they're using him? I mean, forgetting special teams, because we know about that. But
yeah,
what do you think there? Because I gotta wonder.
I think he's already made the team. And I was one of the guys when we did our camp preview show, I thought he was up against it, but he has way too much versatility. First of all, the dead giveaway is he's on every single special teams unit.
I said not to mention special teams.
Yeah, I know. I know. But, you know, it's a dead giveaway. You're making the team when they play you everywhere all the time. You know what I mean? But he's also the backup Buck. He's the backup Mike. They play him everywhere on the defense. And when they do play him, he makes plays and his energy is infectious. You kind of want guys like that. First of all, you know, he runs out of the locker room for every single practice and starts firing up the fans in the stands. And, you know, you could just see he's always talking. They did a mic'd up, one of those mic'd up things on MiamiDolphins.com. Mm-hmm. And you see him telling everybody, people don't expect me to hit him with my stub, you know, which, you know, come on, you know. But I do, and I force the ball out, and sure enough, he forces a fumble on Isaiah Ford, which is just so awesome, all right? But his energy's infectious. He's going to make this team, and he could play football. Like, you know, when he went to Seattle, I think they cast – well, first of all, it's hard to break in on a team that has Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get a lot of snaps. But maybe he was miscast in Seattle. Maybe he's perfect in this type of defense where, you know.
I mean, could easily see that.
You know, so I mean, I don't know. I think he's already made the team. And I know you told me not to talk about special teams, but it's a dead giveaway. He plays everywhere all the time on every single snap in practice. And, you know, he's the backup at two spots. So he's essentially what, the fourth linebacker on the team?
But is he really the backup? Because, you know, in Miami's defense, Mac and Buck set up, you know, the Mac linebacker plays on the line of scrimmage a bunch. Right? You know?
Yes, he does.
Like, I mean, they just depends on the package. I mean, they depends on whether, if this is old New England's old playbook, it depends on whether they're like, you know, in Diamond or Ruby or something like that, you know? And so, the Mac, you know, and this was Donta Hightower, you know, he ends up on the line on the edge there. So, but it sounds like he's Shaquem Griffin is, you know, playing classic Buck, because the Buck can end up in the middle too. In that defense, the way he plays, I kind of wonder. I mean, he seems like he'd be perfect for it. He also seems like, I mean, because we know he's speedy, right? But he seems like a run and hit guy, and so this is where you have trouble with him in his career, like, and this is like Seattle, whether it be Seattle somewhere else. You know, does he have the wingspan? Anyway, but does he have the wingspan to be great off the edge, you know, as a pass rusher? Does he, you know, does he have the tackling skills and the read and diagnose to be a linebacker? What is he? The one thing that you can be pretty sure that he can do is because he's fast. He can scrape, he can run and hit. He can be a run and hit backer. And so you're just trying to figure out, but everything that we're hearing about him, you know, he's pass rushing and he's making himself be felt. So, you know, it's something really to be intrigued by. You know, we'll see. Maybe it fizzles out, but keep an eye.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's going to be fun to watch because I think he's going to play a lot on Saturday. At least what I've seen in camp, like he has a lot of backup roles that will be important when you're trying to, you know, when you're trying to sit what essentially are your starters for a long period of time. That means that your backups are going to have to play a little longer. So I would expect them to play maybe 20 snaps on defense on Saturday. So that should be fun. And speaking of Saturday, well, they play the Bears at 1 o'clock, which is odd in and of itself on Saturday. The whole league is playing on Saturday, which is weird too. But I guess, you know, they're changing up how they're going to do preseason. And this is one of the things that they're going to do. What do you want to see on Saturday, Chris?
I want to see evidence that this is in fact an explosive passing game, because this is how they're going to have to make it this year. I mean, it has to be there that way, because if it's not there that way, we don't really exactly have the faith in the running game and between the offensive line and the fact they're inaction at the running back position this offseason. I don't want to blast any players or, you know, downplay any players or anything like that. But we should not necessarily have great enthusiasm about the ground game on its own, like just plowing over people and, you know, doing whatever. This has got to be about the explosive passing game. It's got to scare defenses. It's got to create spaces or spacing. And you need to see some evidence of that. You really need to see some evidence of that. It should happen like basically right away. If it is what we need it to be. So I need to see that, obviously. I always love to see somebody like Jalen Phillips, like whip ass on some, like, some third string tackle and, you know, make a big showing.
Is the starting left tackle now for the Bears. So yeah, that's who he's going up against, which is, you know, he was a favorite of mine in coming out.
You'd like to see him make a little noise. I think that's it right there. And I don't know what you want to see, but
yeah, I would like to see how the defense is going to align itself. If it's going to be a lot of, you know, a lot of the stuff that they did last year, or maybe they're adding a few tricks to their bag. I want to see those rotations early on in the game, because if we believe Brian Flores, he says that he's going to take maybe the first or two series, you know, with starters. So you're going to see those guys out there for maybe, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 snaps, which you might see enough of them in, you know, in a couple of different sets, because maybe they get to play a couple of third downs, which, you know, is fun, because I get that way you get at least a preview of what your defense is going to try to do, because they're not going to play the Bears in the regular season. So maybe they cut it loose a little bit. And I like to see that offensive line, you know, try to gel a little bit, because they are going to face a pretty good pass rush from the Bears. And
I'm not holding my breath.
No, right? Like it's not good, right?
Still unsettled.
Yeah, unsettled is one way to say it, right? But another thing I would say is, well, one thing for sure, how the mighty have fallen. Did you know that Alec Ogletree is like third team on the Bears and he's not expected to make the team, which is weird, right?
I didn't know he was still in the NFL.
But he was a hell of a player in his time. How old is Alec Ogletree?
Yeah, that's all in the past.
He's 29 years old.
That's still ridiculously young, but
he's 29 years old, and we're talking about that he's done. But yeah, Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, those are their linebackers.
It's in the past, Alf. Yes. Let the past die.
You know who we're facing on Saturday, right? Starting unit, well, they call him, you know, they're gonna call him the strong side guy, and they have Khalil Mack listed as their buck. But Robert Quinn is a Bear now. So
that's right. Okay.
So Austin Jackson versus Robert Quinn is also something that I would love to see, right?
That's going to be interesting because Austin Jackson can hang on the pure speed rush. Like he, and that's all Quinn's got really.
Okay. And
he's not one of these take. He's not one of these, I can take anything I want guys.
Yeah. And what a matchup. Eddie Jackson has returned to practice. He will start on Saturday. Eddie Jackson versus Tua Tagovailoa. That's interesting in and of itself, right? As long as he goes a while, as long as Tua goes a while, you get to see them play a little bit of cat and mouse. So that'll be fun. But yeah, I'm with you. I want to see, is this real or is this not, is this not real? But Miles Gaskin versus those linebackers, Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith, because Miles Gaskin has become a weapon in the passing game, at least in camp he has. So that's another thing to watch. All right. I guess that's it. And I guess next week you'll hear from us twice because we will recap this game and then preview the week, which will be here in Miami. They have a joint practice with the Atlanta Falcons on a Wednesday and a Thursday. Then they play them on a Saturday. So, pretty action-packed week next week on 3 yards per carry. But that's it. There is no more. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to 3 yards per carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.